Six or seven different verses of scripture I want to read. And so let's begin in Genesis chapter 21, verse 15. If you don't have a Bible, they'll put it up on the screen. They had a malfunction earlier. I think they had to replace the keyboard or the mouse or something. That's why you didn't have the words for the songs. Genesis 21 and 15. It reads, "And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and sat her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot, for she said, 'Let me not see the death of the child.' And she sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad. And the angel of God called unto Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, 'What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation.' And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad to drink." I want to attempt to preach to you on the title, God's Gift to the World. If they would pray for us.
Oh, Lord Jesus, I pray for this service right now. Oh, Lord God, that you just open up our minds and our hearts and our ears, Lord Jesus, to receive whatever pastor has for us, Lord God. And I pray you'd give him the strength and wisdom and energy that he needs, and that you'd speak through him, oh, Lord God. And in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. If you're here for the first time, you'll figure it out by now that we stand a lot. We don't believe in sitting. It's against our religion. In this text, we find Hagar, who was the handmaid of Sarai, and because of a decision that was made, she winds up with child cast out of the home, and here she is in the wilderness with no water. She's ready to witness her son's death in her own understanding, and the Bible says she laid him afar off. And about a bow shot away, so however far she could stand away and you could shoot an arrow, that's about how far away he was. She did not want to witness him die. And she wept, and the Bible says the angel of the Lord heard the lad. And you see the rest of the story. I want to call Hagar this morning the broken mother. I don't know what it would feel like to be in that situation where you are simply a vessel and you do what you're required to do, and now you find yourself as an outcast and your son on the verge of death. As we go through these, I want you to think, mothers, how probably at some point in your life you felt like one, if not many, or all of these titles that we're going to put up and these mothers that we're going to talk about. The next one is in Exodus chapter 2, verse 2. It reads, "And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's bank." Jochebed, Moses' mother, because of a decree by Herod to kill all the male firstborn, which he did in an effort to reduce the number of the Jews that were in the land, she became desperate to save her child. And she made a basket and put him in the basket and sent him down the river. Now, when you read it, you don't really grasp the entirety of the situation. But it takes a desperate mother to trust the life of her child to the elements. Whether you agree with her decision or not, you don't know. Unless you were her and there was a tyrant in the land that had decided it's okay to kill all the male firstborn of every family. Then you may understand how she felt. And so we're going to call Jochebed the desperate mother. Then we go to Judges chapter 13, verse 3. The Bible says, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son. No razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Verse 14 says, she may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine nor strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe. If you're a mother, then you understand that what you put in your body affects your child when you're pregnant. In this case, God had put his hand on Samson before he was actually conceived, and God had a special calling for Samson. And in order to fulfill that calling, it required a mother that would take care of herself the way the angel of the Lord instructed her. Because you see, contrary to popular belief in the world, you can't just do anything and live any way and be anybody and still be used of God. Being a Nazarite required special vows, special level of consecration. But understand this morning, Samson's calling was predicated upon his mother's obedience. Not only her obedience, but her willingness to trust the angel of the Lord and to deny possibly her flesh some things that she might have enjoyed during that time. He said, you cannot partake of the vine at all. There are other instructions that were given. You can't eat anything that's unclean. Now, at that time, bacon was unclean. I'm done. His calling's gone. Sorry, son, you're going to have to get a real job. Bacon, come on, folks. So we're going to call her the disciplined mother. Next, we read in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 10. Reads, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. She vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. We're going to call Hannah the barren mother. Now that sounds like an oxymoron. How can you be barren and be a mother? Because a mother is dubbed so obviously after the birth of the child, but God, in my estimation, called a mother before she ever came with child, because God put something. Hannah had the instincts of a mother before she was ever with child. Her instincts were so strong that she was miserable because she could not have a child at this point in her life. Now, there chances are, and if you're comfortable raising your hand, please do. There are women in this place that have been in that very circumstance at some point in their life where there were complications, but she wanted a child. Now, see, for a man, you have to understand. For men, it's just different. When we say we want a child, what we're saying is, obviously, I'm a part of the process, but you are going to have 9 long months. It's not going to affect me at all. Now, listen to me. Just for all the men that say, oh, no, I stay awake with my wife all night. You liar. You did not go through half of what she went through. Even if you tried. Because that baby is in her womb. And it kicked her and punched her and flipped and flopped and hopped. As she tried to lay this way or that. So no matter how much we try, let's just be real today, we could not help. So when I say, I want a child, I'm thinking, it's not a lot of work for me. I want to have a son. I wanted a daughter, never got my little girl. I'm still open to adoption. But when a mother wants a child, you have to understand, there is an instinct that God put there from her inception before she was ever born. It is something that God imparted into a woman. And I'm going to say this not to be critical, but to be factual. A man cannot be a woman. Hold on a second. You can have surgery. You can put a dress on. But you cannot have the instinct that God puts in a female from birth. It is not possible. And so imagine Hannah. She was so miserable because she could not have a child. She went to the Lord and she wept and she made this pledge. If you give me this child, I'll give him back to you. And God did. He honored her plea. He heard her heart. He felt her tears. And he gave her that child, and she nursed that child. And the moment she stopped nursing, she took him and she gave him to the Lord. She kept her end of the bargain. So Hannah, I don't know that we really could paint the proper picture here. Because what do you say to a mother that is so desperate to have a child that she goes to the Lord and she pleads for this child. God gives it to her, but she had to promise to give him back in order to have the child in the first place. She must have carried so much of a weight as a mother. Her prayer was answered, but yet then her prayer would have been answered. So Hannah, in her barrenness, was so desperate to have a child, to be a mother, that she was willing to give her son back to the Lord. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 25 reads, and the king said, divide the living child in two. And give half to the one and half to the other. Now, I'm going to pause there just for a moment. And the things that I say are not meant to be critical. They're just meant to be factual. In our day, it might be common to put your child through a meat grinder. But in this prostitute's life, even though she was a prostitute, she was still a mother. And her motherly instincts were so strong. Again, she was willing to give up her child to save his life. Now, a man, we would have just fought until somebody died. So what would you have done? But the mother's only goal was to save the life of her child. I've told this story before, but some of you may not have heard it. But when Colin was born, I'd heard stories about men getting jealous of their kids. And I'm not a jealous person. I'm not at all. But I went through a couple months of jealousy. That little kid took away all her attention. He did. I mean, I would walk home, and I'm not making it up. I'd walk home. I'm home. You don't remember that? Hello? Hi. Okay, I see how it's going to be. I'll take him and make a basket and send him down the river. But a mother, this poor prostitute mother, I would suggest they were in somewhat of a brothel house, lived there. Two mothers have babies. The other mother, her child dies almost soon after birth. Overnight, she switches the babies out and puts the dead child in this mother's bed, and she takes a living, and the argument ensues, and they go before the king, Solomon. You might read the text. If you don't understand it, you might say, my God, what a tyrant he was. No, what wisdom Solomon had. Because when he took that baby and he hung it, as you might have seen the depiction, I don't know if he did it this way, but he held it upside down by the leg and he said, cut it in half and give a half to each one. He knew that the real mother would never allow that baby to be divided. She would rather give that child up and do without herself before she would allow harm to come to that child. That is the strength of a mother's love. And so we're going to call this mother the loving mother. And I kind of struggled with that because that doesn't take away from the love of the other mothers, but I think it showed here a little more. In verse 26 reads, then spoke the woman whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, oh my Lord, give her the living child and no wise slay it. But the other said, let it be neither mine or thine, but divide it. Because it wasn't, even though she was a mother, this wasn't her child. Luke chapter 1, verse 13. It reads, but the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Now, I don't know if we have any Johns in here. I'm glad that that wasn't me because I just think John's a boring name. Are there any Johns in here? Don't raise your hand, please. I'm sure your mother didn't think it was boring. I just don't like John. I like John. Never mind. Let's move on. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. And shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. Here we go again. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And so we're going to call Elizabeth the mother of prophecy. Because while she was without child, the Lord sent an angel that prophesied the birth of John. But not only that, this was a child that was prophesied long before this moment. That he would be the one that would pave the way for the coming of the Lord. And so Elizabeth was the mother of prophecy. Next, Luke chapter 1, verse 28. The angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women? And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and she cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. The angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. I called Mary the innocent mother, because she was, as best we can tell, about 16 years old, possibly. She had never been with a man. So imagine at that young age, this angel comes to you and tells you that you are highly favored of God, and you are blessed among all women. Well, why? Well, it was because of her innocence that God smiled upon Mary. He needed a pure vessel that the Son of God could come through in order to bring into this world. She was the perfect candidate. An unwilling candidate. Well, I shouldn't say unwilling. She wasn't looking for this calling. She didn't ask to be put in those positions. Talking to some ladies now who God has asked you to do things you never wanted to do, you never liked to do. But she was willing, because in her innocence, all she could understand was what the angel of the Lord was saying to her, and that Jesus would come from her. And so she spent the next months protecting herself, protecting her child. Do we have any mothers here who you were ordered to be in bed for a long time before the birth of your children? Raise your hand. So there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. The hands keep going up. Now, I'm a man. You ain't figured that out yet. If there's one thing men don't do well, is, well, let me rephrase that. It used to be that most men just couldn't sit. That's changed a little bit. And, you know, we're not considered the smartest of the species. I'm not saying this to my credit. I'm somewhat foolish, but I had my gallbladder out, and the next night I was in church. And I had people ask me if I was going to be there. I'm like, of course I'm going to be there. I might not be able to jump too well, but I'm going to be there. And I did take it somewhat easy. And we had a conference we just come back from, and we had our minister session, and we had our elections, all this stuff. And there was a pastor there who just got out of surgery the night before. And he was so not well that somebody else had to drive him down to Cincinnati and drive him back so he could be there for this business session. And as I'm listening to the story, I'm thinking, we're just really not smart, are we? Brother Jimmy back there, we were here, I think it was a Chinese auction. He sliced his finger open, and of course, you know what a man has to say. You want a band-aid? No, just give me some tape. Wasn't that you, Brother James? That's what I thought. Now, there was somebody else here today who wrapped their finger in tape. Who was it? I know you're here. Oh, that's right, Brother Chris. Yeah. See, we're just not real. I mean, we're workers. You know, we're meant to be like workhorses. We're not meant to really be smart. But a mother, when the doctor says, you're going to have to be in bed for a couple weeks, she hates it. Who wouldn't? But there's one thing that she thinks about. Protecting that child. And so a mother could do what a man couldn't do. Now, listen to me. Just for all those men out there that might want to be a mother, I'm just going to tell you right now. I'm not being cruel. I'm just trying to be honest here this morning. This is a real challenge in our world. And you cannot take away from a mother what only God can put in a mother. But for all those men, if there was some miraculous chance, and there's not, it's not going to happen. With God, all things are possible. That's not. All right. If by chance you could get pregnant, And he is, if I can promise you, you're not going to want to lay in bed like a mother does when she has to. I can promise you, you're not going to want to go through that because there's still some testosterone running through your body. Whether you like it or not, it's flowing through your... And man, I mean, my God, if I was pregnant and laying in bed, I'd say, shoot me. Take this child out of me, put it in an incubator, but I cannot lay in this bed for 3 weeks. I'm just trying to be honest with you. But not a mother. Now, ladies, I'm really trying to help you here by really, you know... But I'm a realist as well. I could not do what a mother does. And I can only imagine what sort of protection mode that Mary went into. Because as far as the friends and family knew, she was still a virgin. How are you pregnant? There were things that were not acceptable then that are acceptable now in society. Ostracized, an outcast. But I am convinced the only thing that Mary thought about, I am convinced she was not worried about her image. She was worried about her child. Because that is how a mother would act. So I've talked to you about several mothers. I talked to you about Hagar, the broken mother. Jochebed, the desperate mother. Samson's mother, who is not named, the disciplined mother. Hannah, the barren mother. And then the loving mother of the prostitute and Solomon. And then Elizabeth, the mother of prophecy, and Mary, the innocent mother. These are all traits of motherhood. These are all things, actions that only a mother could take. I'm not trying to build you up. I'm trying to speak reality. There is something unique and special about a mother that does not exist in mankind or in men. It doesn't exist. God made us distinctly different for a reason. Because if men got pregnant, you'd have all kind of messed up kids. That's the truth. Can you imagine if Jerome got pregnant? That was not supposed to be said. I mean, when he's up here and he's jumping like a kangaroo, that poor baby would wake up with mush in its head when he was born. Because there's no way that man would lay in bed for 2 hours rather than 2 weeks. We're just not the same. Mothers, let me say this to you this morning. We laughed a little bit, and I like to have fun. But the serious part is this. You are who God made you. And if you allow the world to change you, then you have robbed future generations of what is necessary for them to thrive and to grow into who and what God has made them or called them to be. We have mothers who had children that had callings upon their lives. And it was because of the actions and the selflessness of the mother that that calling could even come to fruition. So there's nothing in the world that compares to a mother. It doesn't exist. You can't make an AI mother. It doesn't work. You cannot make a robotic mother. You cannot take a man and try to say he's a woman. Even if he has surgery, he cannot be. You cannot, and I am going to speak about this until the day the Lord takes me off this planet or he comes back for his church. Because we cannot let the world continue to try to rob our world and society of mothers, the very thing that God put in this world in order to preserve and protect future generations. Now, it is said, we don't find any scriptural evidence of this, but we know that when Moses' mother put him in a basket and sent him down the river, we know that when Pharaoh's daughter pulled the basket out of the river, the baby cried, she had compassion, And she said to her servant, go and fetch a mother. Or she asked her, and she went and she got Moses' mother, not knowing it was his mother, in order to now come and nurse and raise her own child. That's how God honors faith. And so it is said that when Moses rose up and killed the two Egyptian taskmasters because they were beating the Hebrew servants, it is said that he knew he was a Hebrew, even though he was raised as an Egyptian, because of the years that his mother spent raising him and nurturing him, that she put into him who he was. You are a Hebrew. You're not a Jew. Are you? I'm sorry, you're not an Egyptian. You don't belong in this land. I don't know why we're here, but I believe that one day God will use you to bring the people out of this land. So even though he dressed like an Egyptian and he walked like an Egyptian, he knew he wasn't an Egyptian because of his mother. And so, first, the world has worked to take mothers out of the home by telling them they weren't important enough. That motherhood wasn't important. Now, they didn't use those words, but that's what it was. Then the world worked to make mothers feel insecure by who they were, by sexualizing society, so as to make mothers feel as if they were no longer beautiful. That's the truth. There's not a mother in this place that cannot tell me that you don't struggle sometimes. Motherhood changes your body because it requires something of you. And now the world is trying to redefine a mother by suggesting that a man can step into her shoes, only shoes that a mother can wear. And we need to be vigilant about the fact that there is no replacement for what God made and created naturally. We need to be vigilant about the fact that mothers do matter, and motherhood matters, and nurturing and raising your children matters, and what you instill in them matters. And you might not be popular outside the four walls of your home or outside the four walls of the church, but if you might be a mother of prophecy, you may understand that what I'm raising is a child of God. You may be a Hannah, and you might say, God, I promised him or her to you. And what you do now matters to make them who God is calling them to be. I wish I could preach honestly, but I cannot. And there's reasons that I cannot say the things that I would like to say. But I want to say this to you, moms, and I believe that you'll receive this. You cannot go out into the world and live however you want and do whatever you want and think that your children will be okay. They will not, because God puts you in their life for such a time as this to protect them, to speak into their life, to nurture them. And so you cannot, we cannot. And if you maybe have passed the prime of your motherhood and your children are grown, don't feel like that your calling is over, because you're still their mother no matter what. And you can be a voice to your grandchildren. Don't feel like that your opportunity has passed. God is a restorer, and God can restore anything that might be broken. But I need you to believe today in your calling and your position and your place as a mother in this world. When I say that a mother is God's gift to the world, and I'm almost done, you may think that I'm just trying to give you some fancy statement to hype you up, but I am not. With all of my heart, I have no greater respect for anybody in the world than a mother. I'm an observer, and I watch people, and I particularly love to watch mothers, and you know, and I see mothers. I don't know if I can draw this parallel, but I'm going to try. I like animal videos too. Now, that's not, don't think I'm jumping one. And so somehow or another, I always find myself watching these gorilla videos. And we watch this video, you could tell it was the mama gorilla, the daddy gorilla, and the baby. And this baby gorilla is climbing all over this big silverback. And I think silverbacks are fascinating. They're fascinating. They're huge. And this father, he's just getting annoyed. He's flicking it off.
And the baby kept climbing. And he's, that would be me. I'm just being honest. Get off me! Let me breathe. But when I walk around this church on Sundays, I see mothers with their children hanging off their coattail and pulling on their arm, and I see the mother just with all the gentleness and all the patience in the world. Just roll with it. And when I watch these things, it gives me such a tremendous sense of awe at the patience that God put in a mother that does not exist in a man. And my respect level goes higher and higher every time I watch these mothers be a mother. And I'm being as honest as I can be. So when I say to you that a mother is God's gift to the world, it was only about a few months ago when I just began to ponder the Mother's Day service a little bit, and the Lord put this in my spirit. And I can feel what God put there, and I believe it when I say it, that a mother is God's gift to the world. She is unique in a way that cannot be duplicated and it cannot be replaced, and we cannot accept anything other than that. I would compare motherhood to an angel. I would compare a mother to an angel. Now, I know most mothers would not. You would not look at yourself that way. I will tell you that you are. I will tell you, you are an angel to your children. You are a nurturer. You are gentle. You are loving. You will sacrifice. You will do without. Now, I've told this story. My wife would come and play for me. But when our kids were younger, you know, we're eating and they're like, Mom, can I have that? And she's handing her food on. Don't look at my plate. I'm not young. Dad, can I have? No, this is mine. That's exactly what I tell them. No, it's my food. But no, they know when they want it. You know why? Because a mother would starve to feed her children. You can't put that in a man. You cannot put that level of love inside of anybody but a mother. A mother will keep herself awake all night to take care of her children, make sure her house is peaceful and safe, and whatever else. I don't know if this has anything to do with motherhood, but when I had my surgery, now let me just preface this by saying, okay, I was doped up on morphine, okay? So just remember that. But she said that night when I came home, they heard this. We have two shepherds, and if you have dogs, you know, there's the bark, and then there's the bark when they know they see something or hear something. And so she heard the bark when you hear something. She thought they were hearing something. And so I vaguely remember this because I was like out of it. But she said, she got up, and I said to her, I said, honey, if you need anything, come let me know. She's walking out to investigate, and I'm laying in bed. That's terrible. Typically, I'd be up. There's a gun on the dresser, honey. But a mother goes into protection mode when she has children in the house. Now, a man does too, but it's a different, just different. And so, the gentleness, how she methodically attends to her family and cares about caring for them. A mother cares about caring. Me, I'm hungry. There's toast and peanut butter. Her, she cares about preparing a good meal for them. Me, just pray over it. But not a mother. You can't duplicate them. You cannot duplicate them. She's selfless beyond words. There's no words to describe the selflessness of a mother. And I've watched mothers that will allow themselves inside, they'll die, all while still caring for their family. Things could be going on in her life. She could be falling apart, but she's still up taking care of her family.
That's the love of a mother. That's why I say to me, a mother's like an angel. And she has the patience of Job. Another story that I've told often, but you know, when our kids, well, not even just when then, but even now, you know, they're vomiting everywhere. I'm running the opposite direction. I just don't do that. Just being honest. I get sick. You want more? Go ahead and ask me to clean it up. So one thing I can't function with. But no, they're cleaning. They're caring. No matter what time of night it is or what time of day, stop what they're doing. I really want you to believe with me that you cannot replace a mother. I'm almost done. So there's nothing more beautiful than a mother. Her body, her hairdo, and her education do not define her beauty. The world may try to say otherwise, but they'll discard of you whenever they're done with you. You know why we have so many Hollywood stars that are older in age now, and they're depressed, and they live on the surgery table because they're trying to still be who the world wanted them to be, but they can't anymore. And I don't like to see mothers feel like they have to compare themselves to the world. I don't like it, because you're not that low, mothers. The world cannot stand up next to you. They cannot compare to you, no matter how hard they would try. Because you are somebody that cannot be duplicated. And that's a fact. A mother cannot be replaced by self-identifying statements or surgery. I've already said it. And a mother can only be a woman. Because God put a calling in a mother cannot be duplicated by a man. And in my humble opinion today, a mother is God's gift to the world. And so we honor all of you mothers, and I hope that you will take hold of what I shared with you and believe it as much as I believe it. As an outsider, as an observer who has got to watch mothers amaze me and earn such a high level of respect in my eyes, just watching mothers be mothers. I'd like you to stand, but I wonder if our mothers would come to the front, as we always do. While you're coming, it is important for me to point out to you that if you're not careful, moms, you'll let the world change who you are. You'll let them change your heart, your passion, all of those things. But if you just are confident, I'm going to say this very slowly. If you'll be confident in who you are, if you'll be confident in who God made you, it's very important that you... Where's Troy at? Is he here? Come up, please. My wife can come down, please. Do we need any ladies up here? Oh, you're not yet a mother, are you? Well, you are. You just don't have the evidence yet. In trying to make this claim, I didn't articulate myself well enough, because my goal is to try and take back from the world what they're trying to take from our mothers. And so I made a statement. The reason I talked about Hannah, and there were several mothers in the Bible that were barren. They were mothers before they were actually mothers. So I believe that a woman can mother somebody else. that a woman can mother another child. I believe that because there's something put inside of them that only God can put in there. And their natural love is what brings it out. And I say that because there may be ladies here who don't have children, but you have other children who you love and you nurture. Maybe you even adopt and brought into your family. Those things are all very, very, very possible. So my prayer today is going to be that you won't let the world change you, that you'll understand how much we need you. Our homes, our children, men, we all need you. Every great man came from a mother. And we read several mothers who are mothers of prophecy today. Elizabeth, Mary, Samson's mother. The list can go on. So I want the men to pray with me and the ladies that are out here. I want you to pray. I want you to stretch your hands forward as we pray over these mothers. And we ask the Lord to let them be confident in who they are and who God made them. And never feel ashamed about it. Never feel like you got to compare yourself to some 18-year-old girl that's never had a foul experience in life like you have as a mother, the things you've gone through. Don't let yourself think that you need to compare to that, because we need you. We don't need an 18-year-old girl that's never been a mother. We need you for our families, for our homes, for our society, for our world, to bring the balance that God has put there through you. Would you raise your hands? Ladies, you could pray together. You don't have to lift your hands if you don't want. If you want to, you can. Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for our mothers. I thank you, God, for what is in them that cannot be taken away, that cannot be replaced or duplicated. I thank you for their tireless work, their sacrifice, God. I thank you, Lord, that they give and give and give of themselves, God. And I know that as mothers, they'll always have regret in some way. But I pray that they will take some peace this morning and knowing that whoever their children are, their mother was a part of their life. Their mother was a part of their future. Maybe their children has gone wayward. Maybe there's a break in the family. Maybe there's dissension. But God, you can still work through their motherly instincts to bring peace and to bring balance. And I pray that every one of these mothers that are here today would never feel ashamed of who they are. Never feel ashamed, God, of what they have become. Never feel like they've got to compare to the world, because the world cannot stand and compare to our mothers. And I thank you, Jesus, for each and every one of them. And I pray, God, that your hand would be upon their lives. I pray, Lord, that they would look to you. I pray, Lord Jesus, that they would call on you. When, like Hannah, when they're desperate, God. Oh, that they would weep before you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, like Hagar. God, when they need an intervention of the Lord, I pray that they'll always know where to go. They'll never feel like they've got to go through somebody else, or they cannot be the voice that gets the angel of God's attention in their lives. Mothers, your voice can get the attention of heaven. We've learned that already this morning. Do not diminish your value and your importance in this world. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's worship the Lord together if we could. Thank you, Jesus.
You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You live on. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs.
Before we close, I should say, mothers, don't think you can do without us now. You still need us, but we need you more. We do have a birthday mother here. And so, our family, every month, we all try to sign a birthday card and an anniversary card, and it gets, every month, I feel like some people are having like five birthdays a year. every month we've got 25 or 30 to send out. And so we haven't sent them yet. So for our birthday mother angel, we have the stamp on it. It's filled out. And there's a little gift in here for you. So come, and I want to sing happy birthday to our birthday mother. All right, let's sing. Is there any birthday mothers, any other birthday mothers by chance here?
Eve.
Oh, come on up. Come on, we'll have them stand and we'll embarrass them. Come on, Eve. I didn't know there were two. All right. You can't leave it up to me to sing because nobody will come back. So somebody start us off. Brother Drone, Anthony, Tyler, somebody.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Angel and Eve. That was bad.
Happy birthday to you.
Give them a hand clap. So, mothers, if you want a drink at the cafe, if you're a birthday mother, you can get two drinks if you want them. Or tell them I said you can have a cookie or something too. Thank you. We love you all. Have a great Mother's Day, and we'll see you again soon, hopefully.